to not.
What do we hear in worship? We heard the word rain. Rain. Rain down all across the earth. Let it rain down. Talking about His presence, His Spirit, His power. Who He is raining down into our lives. What happens with the rain? Water falls from the sky. It comes down on the earth and it rests upon what it touches. Many times when I'm out mowing, it'll start raining. And honestly, when it's 95 degrees outside, I don't even care anymore. It's like, thank you. It's so nice. But rain. Stuff raining down on our lives. Tonight, I'm going to talk about state of need, state of power, promise. I'm going to probably fumble my words a little bit. I've been having trouble speaking lately. Please forgive me. But state of need, state of promise. So that said, what is this state of need we're talking about? Today, there's a couple things that are alarming about Christianity in this nation. 2.78 churches are open every single day in the United States of America. 10.93 close every day. Let's flash back to the 1940s. Somewhere between 77 to 87% of people were active, professing, believing Christians. Not people that say, oh yeah, I go to church, man. I got my name on the list. No, they actually lived it and professed it. Flash down to your grandparents. Number drops about 55. Go to your parents, it's about 30. And if you come to where we're at right now, it's a staggering, huge 4%. That 4 out of every 100 people would be active Christians when they're in their adulthood. In the last 2 years, 50% of churches didn't have a single new person even show up. Could you imagine that? Not a single new person rocking it out. I think it'd be kind of interesting. Guys, we're in a state of need. But I will tell you something. There was a lot of people said, oh, it's meaningless. The stars, all in the world is ending. America's going to hell in a handbasket. Glory to God. Jesus is coming back. I'm about sick and tired of hearing how bad things are and never hearing stories about people who stood up and did something about it. Do you know what history remembers? History remembers those who in a state of need stood up and said, I will answer the call regardless of the cost. Tonight, we're in a state of need. What is peering into the promised land? Peering into the promised land has been driving. It's been talking about there's destiny on you. There's promise. We talked about how Moses, who, you know, let my people go. That guy, Prince of Egypt, Red Sea parts, they go across. Okay. That guy walks around for 40 years. Do you know that the journey from Egypt to the promised land was 13 days? But they walked around 40 repetitive years of 365 days. Because they wouldn't listen to God. Could you imagine what it would be like, remember the $1 million, to see the place where your money's sitting at for 40 years and not be able to go touch it? No, there's something separating you. You can't get in the door. You can see in the window, but the door is locked for 40 years. See, they were sitting there on the edge of the promise, and the Jordan River separated them, and God would never let them go across because they weren't obedient to His Word. And at the end of Moses' life, he goes up on Mount Nebo, and he stands and sees the promise of God, but he never got to touch it. There was a need there. There was promise there, but he never got to go into it. Moses, instead of listening to the Lord, acted in anger many times. And because of that, he, at the moment in time in which he struck the rock, God said, you're not going to get it now. I want to send Joshua to do it. Later on, we find that out. What am I saying to you? I'm saying that we're in the middle of a need. We're in the middle of the place right now. Unless something changes, you see, when a snowball starts rolling down a hill, it's just kind of like an avalanche effect. Unless some wall, some obstruction gets in its way, that avalanche is going to continue to progress. And we're sitting here looking at the decline of Christianity. And my question is, are we going to sit back and watch this country slip away and be like every other person? It's over, it's over, it's over. Instead of running our mouths about how bad it is, why don't we stand up and do something about it and see a change? That's what we're talking about tonight. The state of need, but we're in the middle of a state of promise too. It could be very easy to get this mindset that things are that bad, that there's really no potential, that the promise is over. And we can get that mindset of, oh, it's it. But I believe that God is looking for, you see, when He sent out His Word in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, it's this simple. You guys have probably heard it a bajillion times in here because I like it. It's many times referred to as the Great Commission. Pastor's poking me. could say it from memory, but sometimes I miss words and I'd rather just read it than speak it. Because trust me, it's a lot better that way. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." Or, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." If you want to get some King James on it right there. But the fact is that's what God has commissioned us to, is to make disciples of the nations. And regardless of the state of which we stand, and we see that this nation is either going to, one, fall apart, or two, rise up in a state of revival, we have the opportunity to do one of two things: either acknowledge the end or stand and speak that this nation might be saved. And this is kind of hard tonight. You know, usually right off the bat, I go straight off the scripture, and the scripture's coming here in just a second. But this is kind of like a rebuttal to last week, and continuing on that mindset as a statement back to it. What are we going to do? How much longer are we going to sit in our schools and walk by kids who clearly don't have Jesus and say nothing? Do you understand that you are the only Jesus? You are the only voice for God many times in your school. And if you do not speak the words, they're never going to hear it. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says this. Usually, I have the ingenuity to put post-it notes in my Bible and mark my places so I don't have to do this. And I go, boom, Romans 10. And actually, hold on a second. Verse 14, my bad. But tonight, as I was taking them out, my mom was like, "Why are you doing that?" I'm like, "I don't need them tonight." And so that's why I'm flipping. Romans 10, 14 says this. "But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him?" Okay. How can anyone save you if they never knew that you were in need of being saving, correct? If you're in the water and you be sinking because you can't swim, and there's people all around, but you don't yell, "Save me!" You're going to drown. Okay? Makes sense. Unless they believe in him. And how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? So when you're sinking, you're going to believe in that person over there. "I'm going to believe you're saving." But how can we call on Jesus to save us unless we believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've not heard about him? How could someone ever call upon Christ and know that there's freedom in his name, that you don't have to deal with depression and alcoholism and anything that would ever bind you down anymore? Because at the name of Jesus Christ, bondages are broken, shackles are shattered, and chains are loosed. That there's freedom and salvation in his name unless someone ever heard about him. And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, "How beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news." Basically, the scriptures saying, how can you believe in something? How can you believe that someone will save you unless you believe in them? How could there ever be that salvation out there unless you said, "Oh, it's real"? But how can anyone ever believe that there's salvation in our lives unless someone tells them about it? It's the money theory. It could be there, but we're never going to get to touch it unless we believe it. What am I saying to you? How does this come home to you? If you don't speak it, they'll never know it. If they don't ever know it, they'll never believe it. And if they don't ever believe it, they'll never be saved by it. What is the it? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth, lived and died, lived a sinless life, laid his life out for each one of us, and by his death, he bore our sins upon his back. And there's salvation from those sins. That the grave could not hold him. That he rose on the third day, arisen, alive, then ascended to heaven. And that by that life, sacrifice, death, and resurrection, so our lives might pass away, be resurrected, and we might have true life. Now, tonight, sound like some good stuff, right? We need to go speak the word. Hear it? You need to go speak the word. If you don't speak it, they'll never hear it. If they don't ever hear it, they'll never believe it. God is looking for you to be the messenger. We did a service a while back, and it was a commissioning service is what I called it. And it says, how can anyone ever go speak the word unless they've been sent? Well, formally right now, I'm saying you're sent. That's what we did in that service. We said, it's time that we get unmuted. It's time that we go. It's time that we step out and start moving. Hear these words, I'm sending you because he sent you. What does the word procrastination mean to one of you? Someone. What's procrastination?
To hold off on something for long periods of time.
What about you?
To not turn something in until, like, Like, if you have a homework assignment that you have 2 weeks to do and not do it till the last night. Me.
Raymond is just being transparent tonight. You know, the transparent shall see God over there. But me, Brian.
I was going to say you.
Sam. To do something the last minute. Andrew.
To avoid working.
To avoid working, yes.
To keep saying you're going to do it, but you never really do it.
Can we repeat this one right here?
To keep saying that you're going to do it, but you never really do it.
To postpone.
All philosophical. Yes.
Couldn't be interpreted as being lazy.
Be lazy.
Ooh.
We got a lot of good things right here. And when you point a finger at someone and say, man, you're procrastinating, there's three right back at you.
That's why you got to the military.
So, tonight, my question is, how long are we going to walk by the lost and not say something? How long are we going to sit and look and not go in? Now, flashback to the story of Moses, and this is where we go into the book of Joshua chapter 3 tonight, and I know we're almost done. But we've got Moses, who for 40 years saw the promise of God, never got to go in. At the end, God takes him and says, look at all the land. This is what it was. And he dies on Mount Nebo, doesn't get to go in. But there's a young man named Joshua. Joshua comes into the story of the Bible. We find out that he's the assistant of Moses. And that when Moses would go in and spend time in prayer, that it would say Joshua wouldn't leave, he would stay. Now there's a message within itself right there. When we pray, there's something about just lingering in His presence. There's something about that maybe some people say, well, I'm just going to hit 5 minutes on my knees. There's something about when we say, no, I feel God calling me deeper. I'm going to stay a little bit longer. I'm going to dive a little bit deeper. And if God doesn't speak in 5 minutes, I'll wait 5 hours. There's something about that. But we find out about this young man who's after God's heart. There's an opportunity for him to go into this land and check it out. Him and Caleb go in and 10 of the spies. And 10 of the spies, the other ones beside him and Caleb, come back from the promised land and say, man, yeah, it's good. But there's giants, like 9 feet tall people, kill people, it's bad. And we got this right here. There's giants in the land. But David and Joshua and Caleb are like, listen, we should go now. This is our time. Who cares if they're giants? The Lord is on our side. We're going to stand up and they'll be slain. Just like David standing in the face of Goliath. And I've got news for you. If you've got some giants in your life, just showing up is half the fight. Trust me, God is on your side. But Joshua, the 3rd chapter, and as we're winding down. Joshua chapter 2, we've got the story I just told you. We've got the spies going in. Joshua chapter 3, we've got Joshua and the acacia grove. And we've got the story where he comes into play right here. And we're going to start down, I think it's verses 14 and 15. This is when Joshua takes the charge. He starts leading the people into the land. Here it goes. So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan. And the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was the harvest season and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the Ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up at a great distance. So they drop the Ark in, the river stops flowing, the water starts backing up. Water beneath it all flows out, obviously, to eventually get dry. At a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan, and the water below that point flowed on to the Dead Sea until the river was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Meanwhile, the priests carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the river bed. As the people passed by, they waited until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan onto dry ground. And here tonight is where it comes home to us. What's procrastination? Not doing something when we should. It's laziness. It's sometimes epitomizing people. I can be a procrastinator. It's evil in college. And I'm like, devil from hell, procrastination, you be named. Ugh, it's evil. Procrastination. Now, what I've said so many times, we sit in church and we hear stories, yeah, we're going to go preach the gospel. And then it's like, but, and I hear that word, or I hear tomorrow. So you've got this story. Moses dies, and Joshua has the opportunity to, one, take the people into the land, or two, continue on the status quo path, which is standing inside of the promised land. Joshua comes in and says, I've seen the promised land. I went in. It's the place flowing with milk and honey. It's where God wants us to be. It's the promise. It's good. We should take it. We should go now. And we get this story. He takes over, and what does he do? He goes. Instead of sitting and looking at what could be the promise of God, and I don't know what your promise looks like. I don't know where the place that God has for you is. Maybe it's your track team. Maybe it's your wrestling team. Maybe it's your Pellissippi College. I don't know what your promised land is. But I guarantee it always has something to do with salvation, something to being set free. It's the Great Commission enacted in our day. We don't have a promised land, land flowing milk and honey. It's like, man, if I go over the little river, that's where it's at happening. No. Today we've got a different kind of promised land. The promised land, I would say to me, is that every knee would bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Looking at the book of Ephesians. That scripture, it's a prophetic thing that it's going to happen. But I believe in our day and time, our earnest cry should be that every knee would bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ alone is Lord. Our promised land is sitting in front of us. Guys, God is wanting to use you in such a mighty, mighty, mighty way. And I honestly had to kind of cut out things tonight because of time. The contest ran a little bit over. We're going to probably come right back and pick up on this next Wednesday night and be done with the message series. But tonight, the message is this right here. If you can see the place God is calling you, I don't care if you're 11, you're 21, you're 16. God has something on your life. He has a will for you. He has a plan for you. Plans to prosper and not harm you. To give you a hope and a future. And why would I read this story about Joshua? Because you have a man who's seen the promised land. And other people didn't want to go in. But he said, no, let's go. And he walked up to the river. Had the priest step in. The water stopped. It was dry ground. What did that mean? It was easy to get across. Guys, sometimes the scariest thing ever is that first little step. But you'll find if you would just step through many of the things that's holding you back from the promise, you'd walk across on dry ground. The scariest thing when we jump off bridges and do crazy stuff like that is not the step when you go over the edge, it's that step when you move your first foot. Tonight, it's time that we quit looking at what God is doing and we start moving into it. God's got a promise on your life. The question is, are you going to choose to accept it and go into it? Or are you going to choose just to see it, procrastinate, to never go in? And you might find yourself being 55 and saying, I saw the promise of God. He called me to be an evangelist, to travel this world and speak His word. But I didn't do it. I met a young man the other day, 29. He said, God called me to preach, but I didn't go. Don't see God's promises on your life. Don't see His will and not choose it. It's time that we go and we take it. Let's stand on up. We're going to lead tonight. Getting done 2 minutes late. We must not be a people of only dreams and speech, but of actions. We need to be people of movement instead of simply talking about God as wanting for us, talking about the promise, talking about seeing people saved, talking about speaking the word. I want to give you a word. Instead of speak, why don't you do? Don't be someone whose talk is cheap. Be someone whose life is strong and seen. Guys, anyone can say, I'm going to go speak the word. My question is, are you going to do the most daring thing and make a step forward and speak it? Tonight, now is the time that we stand and go. For if you do go, you will surely have the promise. I'm going to pray. If anyone needs to pray tonight, we're just going to pray for a little bit. Love you guys. Got some music. Good song too. I'm going to pray. If you need to pray for any reason, healing, things in your life, I don't care what it is. You feel like God's calling you to go and you've not went in the promise. You feel like there's a promise on your life and you hear God speaking. Respond to Him tonight. We're ready and willing to pray with you. Thank you guys for coming next Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, 6:30 for free food. As I pray, if anyone needs to pray, meet me up here. Father, tonight we thank you for this opportunity. and privilege to share in your word, to open it up, to experience, God, what you're saying. And I know it might be kind of confusing picking up in the middle of this message series, but Lord, I recognize that tonight you're speaking into hearts as people across this room are already beginning to move. Lord, we say this is your time, God. This is your moment, Holy Spirit. Speak into hearts. Draw people. Anyone who's walked away, might they be brought back to you tonight, Father. And as we have dived into this tonight, let us never be people who stand and speak, but instead people who stand and go and speak your word. Who we put our money where our mouth is, and we let our testimonies live stronger than our words. Father, tonight, let every person in here hear that there's a promise. Hear that it's your will that they might have it. And recognize that now, this moment is the time to go, not tomorrow. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.